Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, and today's closing day. So that means that we're going to have an incredible snippet from an episode, which today features episode 85 with Alex Camuno. And in this highlight, Alex is going to talk about what it was like for him to be able to go into his first property, which was a part of him gaining financial independence at the age of 25. Wow. So listen to this really, really cool story. Let's get into it. Closing day.
So what was it like just being a landlord for the first time? You know, once you got people moved in and everything, like what was that experience like for you?
Man, so, and this, again, everything that happened to me, it really happened. So it was very smooth because I'm telling you, it goes back to the education. I was so knowledgeable in this. I honestly felt like there was nothing nobody could tell me I didn't already know. And that is obviously like a bad thing, but like for the most part, as a new real estate investor, I just felt so knowledgeable in everything. So I was I read Brandon Turner's book on managing rental properties. I listened to a bunch of podcast episodes on tenant management, property management. So I knew exactly what to be looking for with tenant screening. So my biggest things, the top three things I was really looking for was no evictions. Right. Three times the rent that they're on their income. And then also, a decent credit score. Right. Those were the top three things I was looking for. Number one is no evictions. That's the absolute number one thing I would never tolerate. I would never accept anyone no evictions. So my whole thing was whenever I would get the thing is most people, when they get into real estate, they see the first tenant or the second tenant or they see someone apply. And just because they have the potential of money there, they'll accept anyone. I was like, no, I don't. I would have let the property keep sitting, because one thing I learned from, you know, listening and reading was that having a headache tenant is a lot worse than having a vacant property. So I would gladly pay my mortgage for a month or 2 months or 3 or 4 months if I have to, if that means waiting to get a good tenant. So for me, I screened the heck out of these people. And so I got really great tenants my first go around, and they, you know, paid on time every time. Never had any issues. The only things that happened was like, it was an older couple. So the older lady, she kind of like fell a few times on the property. And like, you know, she actually like cracked her head open, you know, one time on my driveway, and like ambulance had to come. It's like a whole situation. And that happened, like she probably fell and bust her head like 3 or 4 times in on this property. And it was just crazy because I was just kind of like, I hope she doesn't try to like say, you know, I'm negligent or something like that on, you know, from my property. But really, she was just like, I think she had like some balance issues or something like that. So she was just having, you know, physical health issues that was like causing her to fall. But other than that, no issues whatsoever. And it's still to this day, I have had amazing tenants in all of my properties, never had a missed rent payment, never had a, you know, tenant not, you know, paying, and never had a tenant destroy anything, never had anything bad happen, because I took the screening very, very seriously. I would sit in it. I would have an empty property before I put a full in the property. So that was, you know, being a first time landlord could be scary, but I'm telling you, when you had a knowledge and you equipped with that knowledge about what to be looking for, it makes it a lot easier, man. I'm telling you.
Definitely. Love it. Love it. So it sounds like you learned a whole lot. And we're pretty prepared for the first deal. So how did your real estate investment evolve from that point? Like what happened next?
Yeah. So originally my goal was to, when I graduated college and I said I wanted financial freedom by age 20, I said, cool, I just want to get to $10,000 a month in passive cash flow. So, okay. That was really my second. My first goal was I'm just going to get one house hack one house every single year. Cause you know, you just got to live in the property, then move out every year. And then, you know, eventually you can accumulate a portfolio of properties, you know, within, you know, 5 to 10 years, a good amount of properties, small multifamily properties. You can have a good amount of units, enough to definitely quit your job and, you know, live a certain way. But it got to a point was like, after like year one, I was like, man, okay, I'll probably cash flow maybe like $250 a unit off of this house. So maybe $500 positive cash flow after all bills. I would need a lot of houses to, well, I would probably need maybe just 10 houses, maybe 10 duplexes to be able to, like, you know, leave my job, live decently. But I really, so I was like, I don't want to live decently. I want to live great. So I said, cool, I need like 10,000. 10,000 is a little better. So at that point, I said, how can I get $10,000 a month of cash flow? So I know, just based off of a rule of thumb and my experience, that I say one door can cash flow generally 200. We can, back then, it's not the case now, but in 2018, it was, so one door could cash flow $250 a month. So I know in order for me to get 10,000, I would need 50 doors. So it got to a point where I said, cool, if I want 50 doors, how would that look? It would be 25 duplexes. It'd be 50 single family houses. It'd be, you know, a mixture of duplexes and triplexes, quadplexes, or it could be a apartment complex, right? So I said, honestly, the best thing, I would rather have an apartment complex over having 25 houses, or, you know, or 25 multifamily properties or 50 houses. I'd rather, because economies of scale, you know, once you hit a certain amount of units, things become more efficient, right? Just based on the financial aspects, right? And then also, obviously, with property management, all your units under one roof versus having 50 units all over, you know, the seventh largest city in the country. That's a lot of, you know, logistics. I'm gonna have multiple different property managers. I would rather have one business under one roof. So I want 50 units. So I said, my goal now is to get apartment complex. That's what I said a couple, really like in 2019. So I said, in order to do that, there's a couple ways I can do that. I know really there's some creative financing ways to buy apartments, but generally speaking, you're going to need some sort of cash. It doesn't need to be your cash, but you're going to need cash. And that's why I know you can do deals with none of your own money. It's not that you can't buy real estate without money. You can buy real estate without any of your money, but, or it might have to be someone else's money though. So I said, cool, I'll probably need like $1 million down or something like that. So I said, how can I get $1 million? It's either I'm going to work my job and save $1 million, or I'm going to, you know, use real estate to get to $1 million. So I said, I can flip houses. And so flipping houses is what became the next step. So essentially what I did was I worked backwards from that. So I said, I need 50 units. In order to get 50 units, that's apartment complex, I need $1 million to put down probably roughly. In order to get $1 million, I probably need to flip, you know, 10 to 20 houses and have, you know, a good amount of profit off of each of those. So I said, now my goal has become, I just need to flip these houses to get to that point. So that's kind of the reason I stopped buying like small multifamilies completely and pretty much started flipping houses. And so flipped, you know, pretty close to, I think like seven or eight properties since 2019. And so that kind of just became the strategy in that regard. Now I'm not really focused on so much on knowing I need to flip to get that $1 million, because I know about syndication. I know about, you know, raising money, because I've raised so much money for the flips that I know, oh, I can actually raise this money for the apartment complex instead of, and just cut the middleman out essentially. So now that's kind of so we're still flipping, but mainly it's like, you know, also looking at is like if a good apartment complex deal comes around, then we'll be ready to pull the trigger on that as well. So that's kind of where we're at right now with that.
Love it. Love it. Talk to us about that first flip. You know, it seems like your first buy and hold, you were pretty knowledgeable. You were ready for it. Was it the same way in flipping, where was there more that you didn't know heading into the process? Talk to us more about that.
Yeah. So that first flip, partnered up with somebody on that one. And that first flip, it honestly went pretty well. Not all of them have, but the first one went pretty well. So that was February 2019. And I think purchase was like 87. Rehab was like 30,000 or something. And then it sold for like 165. So we made like 35 gross, and it was like 20 something net on that one. So it was a good, you know, good little deal that we did on that one. One thing I learned is that I know like my niche for flips, because one thing you got to understand is that when you're flipping houses, you got to understand the logistics of every property type, right? So I know that down here in South Texas, most people are looking to buy houses in the $250,000 price range max. At that time period, it was probably a little lower than 2 years ago, because real estate was a lot different than it is today. So it was at that time, probably around maybe 200,000 max in South Texas and San Antonio. So now I know that if we list a house below 200,000, it's going to sell instantly. So that became pretty much what, you know, we started looking for. So that first deal was like right in that criteria. It's a single family house. And I also knew I like to buy in master plan neighborhoods. So essentially neighborhoods in which if you go right now and you just, you know, look at houses that are being built today, they're being built in master plan communities. And in 50 years, those are going to be great houses to flip because they're still going to have the community aspect. Right now, obviously, they're terrible houses to flip because they're being sold at retail value. But in 50 years, when you can buy them at a discount because they're distressed for either due to seller distress or physical distress, they're going to be great houses because they're already in great locations.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's B-R-E-D Podcast. Until next time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.